RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. As usual, we'll bring you news followed by commentary. Today in history, Voi Green headlines and Justin brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesia Today and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And we'll conclude today's English Bulletin with Music Corner. That's all for today, listener. Stay tuned at www.voi.co.id.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to officially declare June 1st as Pancasila Day. Minister Susi endorses use of force against illegal fishing. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo declares June 1st as Pancasila Day on Wednesday. This was affirmed by President spokesman Johan Budi on Tuesday. He said that President Joko Widodo has prepared a presidential decree and will make a formal announcement on Wednesday in Bandung, West Java. Johan could not confirm whether Pancasila Day would be a national holiday, but he did say that if it was declared a national holiday, it would officially start next year. Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle PDIP chairwoman and former President Megawati Sukarno-Putri has aggressively pushed for June 1st to be declared Pancasila Day to commemorate the birth of the state ideology. She said that Pancasila Day will help unite everyone under ideology. Previously, NU Chairman Said Agil Siraj stated that Indonesia's largest Muslim organization, Datu Ulama NU, has also called on President Joko Widodo to declare June 1st as a Pancasila Day. Marine Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujiastuti has expressed her support for the action taken by Oswald Siaaant, OWA-354 frigate that fired assault and seized China's flat Guibeyu vessel for allegedly fishing illegally in Natuna Sea. She remarked that foreign ships should never be let fishing illegally in Indonesian exclusive economic zone. The crew members of the vessel have allegedly fished illegally since the special twigs found on board were identical with that of Indonesian waters. The seizure was carried out in the presence of a China's Coast Guard vessel, but it did not intervene in the process of seizure that was initiated by a warning through a loudspeaker gun firing into the air and ended with a shot fire which hit the stern of the vessel. In addition to the seizure and the shot fire, Minister Susi has called on the public not to take into account the perpetrator's country of origin in incident. PT Pertamina claimed that non-subsidized diesel fuel of Dexlite type has grabbed 20% market share in Surabaya, East Java. Area Manager Communication and Relations, Hippy Wulansari, said in a press release on Tuesday that 2 weeks after the product's market testing in Surabaya, the consumption level of non-subsidized diesel fuel of Dexlite type continues to show a positive trend. She elaborated that the increase is expected to continue given that 3 additional gas stations will provide Dexlite in Surabaya next month. Happy added that the additional gas station will be provided gradually as the focus will be on the preparation of other issues ahead of Idul Fitri. Thereafter, the company will push for other additional gas stations. The opening of Lulu Group marks the United Arab Emirates-based company's first step into East Asia, the new store being part of a $500 million investment commitment to Indonesia. The investment is the largest in the retail sector so far this year. With the new store, the retail giant now has a total 126 outlets across Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, and United Arab Emirates, Egypt, India, and Indonesia. The Lulu Chakun store was inaugurated with the help of President Joko Widodo, who seems enthusiastic that the company had chosen to set up shop in one of the United Arab Emirates' closest allies. President Joko Widodo said during the visit that the United Arab Emirates was among Indonesia's main export destinations. The value of trade between the two nations itself reached $2.21 billion in 2015. Meanwhile, President Joko Widodo said during the inauguration that Lulu could be the gateway to the Middle Eastern market, helping to empower local farmers and help their imports reach foreign customers. Lulu Group Chairman Yusuf Ali in a statement said that Lulu plans to open 9 more hypermarkets by the end of 2017 and to build a central logistics and warehousing facility in Jakarta as well. With the launch of a new defense strategy on Tuesday, expectations are high that the defense minister will build a maritime defense system that supports the government vision of transforming the country into a global maritime power. Unlike a 2008 version that focused on territorial defense, the 2015 defense white paper released on Tuesday incorporates the global maritime axis and state defense concept to deal with potential threats over the next 5 years. Defense Minister Director General for Strategy Defense, Major General Yudi Swastanto, said that they need to revise the defense programs and make them in line with the government's policies. He added that the document highlighted maritime strategy development by military and non-military agents. The state defense program, meanwhile, was part of a strategy to support a military approach to maintaining maritime safety. A newly launched European Union project is set to explore the creative economy potential of Flores East Nusa Tenggara with the eventual end of developing tourism on the island. The head of the cooperation at the delegation of European Union to Indonesia, Frans Vult, praised the enthusiasm of tourism players in Flores to fully engage with the creative entrepreneurship for accelerating tourism and local economic development program. The EU-funded creative program aims to harmonize Flores tourism sector growth and various local economic activities based on food and handicrafts. It is hoped that through the program, local communities can participate more actively in the development of local economy in Flores. The creative program will be implemented over 3.5 years by Tourism Foundation Yayasan Ekowisata Indonesia, Indesion, together with Environment Foundation Yayasan Beni Matahari Bima, and Yayasan Lingkungan Hidup Silo Limant. Local community in East Nusa Tenggara will also be involved in the program. The last item, Indonesia will import additional rose sugar for household usage to meet demand and stabilize prices during the celebration for the end of Muslim Ramadan fasting period in July. This was affirmed by Trade Minister Thomas Lembon on Tuesday. At the joint briefing of the Trade, Agriculture and State-owned Enterprise Ministries, he said that Indonesia, which has the world's largest Muslim population, will bring in 381,000 tons of rose sugar. The rose sugar is likely to arrive in Indonesia from early July through August once import permits are received in June. Subiono, chief of PTP and TEN, said that one of Indonesian state-owned enterprises will bring the sweetener into the country. He uses only one name like many Indonesians. Minister Lembon and Subiono did not name the countries from which Indonesia expects to import the rose sugar. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Coming up next is commentary. Today's commentary is on North Korea launches missile again. U.S. President Barack Obama in the G7 summit forum nearly a week ago in Japan called North Korea a big worry for all. His comments came after the rising tensions on the Korean Peninsula after a series of missile tests by North Korea. According to the American president, the concerns will not directly lead to the risk in the near future, but the unstable and isolated regime should still be given the most attention. President Obama's concerns was proven correct. In the morning at the end of May 2016, North Korea launched a medium-range missile again from the east coast of the country. South Korean military sources said North Korea has conducted a test launch of the missile, although failed. But about the cause and source of the failure, the South Korean military said it was still studying it. Across the sea to the east of the Korean Peninsula, the Japanese apparently had information about the planned missile launch by North Korea and has deployed its forces in the region, which might become a target. Increased tension in the region came after the fourth North Korea's missile launch at the beginning of this year. But the launch in January was not alone. North Korea also launched satellites and other missiles. According to information from the South Korean news agency Yonhap, North Korea had launched a Musudan missile with a range of over 2,500 kilometers. In theory, the missile is capable of reaching Japanese territory. Allegedly, the same missile was launched last April. With this failure, for the umpteenth time, North Korea did not succeed in the launching its missiles. Seeing the launches, Japanese media said Japan's military has ordered its destroyer ship to stand by and be ready to fire at missiles that may be directed to the country. However, the Japanese military did not comment at all about the media reports. Watching the developments in the Korean Peninsula today, North Korea's efforts should not be taken lightly. The country obviously is not left behind in developing its military technology. If North Korea is successful in launching its medium-range missile, it would open the door for the development of long-range missiles that could reach the wider region. Well, that was commentary today on North Korea launches missile again. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to the regular Today in History. We start from June 1, 1945. An idea about the state five principles was conveyed in the speech of President Sukarno. The 1st of June usually refers to a historical event when Sukarno conveyed his speech in the first meeting of BPUPKI, or Investigating Committee for Preparatory Work for Indonesian Independence, on May 29th until June 1, 1945. On June 1, 1945, Sukarno proposed the name of Indonesia's state principle in Pancasila. However, Pancasila, which was proposed by Sukarno, quite different with Pancasila that is currently known worldwide. The difference is especially in the composition of editorial, systematics, or the principles order. The official script of the five principles of Pancasila, which is currently known, namely, belief in one and only one God, just and civilized humanity, the unity of Indonesia, democracy guided by the inner wisdom, in the anonymity arising out of deliberations amongst representatives, and social justice for all of Indonesian people. The script was just ratified on August 18, 1945, one day after the independence of Indonesia, through the meeting of Indonesian Independence Preparatory Committee, along with the ratification of the 1945 Constitution as the state basic law. June the 1st was then considered as the birthday of Pancasila since 1947. We conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event on June 1, 1980, CNN was firstly aired. 4 years prior to CNN's launch, in December 1976, Ted Turner turned his Atlanta, Georgia independent station, WTBS, into one of the original satellite distributed television channels, leasing a transponder on RCA Satcom 1 geostationary satellite. The cable news network was intended to be distributed on RCA's new Satcom 3, which was lost on its launch date of December 7, 1979. Because replacement transmission capacity was not readily available, the Turner Broadcasting System filed suit against RCA seeking use of another communication satellite and $35.5 million in damages. On March the 5th, Turner announced that a consent order had been worked out with RCA in federal court allowing CNN to begin operations on June the 1st as scheduled using a transponder on SATCOM 1. The network launched on Sunday, June the 1st, 1980 at 5 p.m. Eastern Time with an original staff of 25 employees based at its headquarters in Atlanta and bureaus in Chicago, Dallas, Los Angeles, New York City, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. Listener, that was Today in History. See you and sampai jumpa.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Void Green. Today we'll take you to listen to a topic about Lake Toba is developed with environmentally friendly concept. Lake Toba in North Sumatra has been decided as one of 10 national tourism destinations besides Bali, which is now developed by Indonesian government. After the Lake Toba Authority Agency has been formed, the government tries to encourage the tourism region by involving most of the state-owned enterprises. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Rini Sumarno, on Saturday, May 28th, held a coordinating meeting with the heads of a number of state-owned enterprises related to the development of tourism regions in Prapat, which is close to the Lake Toba. On the occasion, a number of the state-owned enterprises handed over assistance of corporate social responsibility, CSR, to support the revamping of the lake as one of the main tourism destination sites in Indonesia. Some of assistance is derived from PT Perusahaan Gas Negara PGN and PT Pelabuhan Indonesia Pelindo that will handle the Tomok Tourism Village in Samosir Island, North Sumatra, while PT Angkasa Pura II will build 10 clean toilets around Toba Lake, and PT Telkom will strengthen broadband networks in the Lake Toba. On the same occasion, Minister Rini Sumarno and some officials of state-owned enterprises planted trees on the outskirts of Lake Toba. According to the minister, the trees are very important sources of life. Therefore, the planting of trees must be a culture in the ranks of state-owned enterprises. The activity of trees planting or environmental safeguard represents the commitment and synergy of the state-owned enterprises in the sector of environment and tourism. The activities are aimed at supporting the concept of responsible tourism, which is applied in the development of Lake Toba tourism destinations. Based on the concept, the development of Lake Toba should be environmentally friendly by keeping the ecological capacity. Lake Toba has 100 kilometers long and 30 kilometers wide, making it the largest volcanic lake in the world, and it is the second largest lake in the world after Lake Victoria in Africa. With a depth of 500 meters, Lake Toba is one of 10 deepest lakes in the world. With an area of 640 square kilometers, the Samosir Island in the middle of Lake Toba is a volcanic island with an area equal to the area of Singapore. Lake Toba has a long history that influenced the journey of human evolution, animals, and plants in the world. Toba volcanic explosion happened three times, namely at 900,000 years ago, 500,000 years ago, and the last 75,000 years ago. This is a unique condition which cannot be found in many places in the world. Currently, there are at least 45 geosites spreading across four geo areas, namely Caldera Porcia, Caldera Haranggaul, Caldera Sibandang, and Samosir. But the development of tourism in Lake Toba is in terms of not only its geological value, but also its wealth of flora and fauna, as well as architectural and noble values of Batak culture. That was Void Green.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo declares June 1st as Pancasila Day on Wednesday. This was affirmed by President-elect spokesman Johan Budi on Tuesday. Marine Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujiastuti has expressed her support for the action taken by Oswald Siaaant 354 Brigade that fired shots and seized China's flat Guibeiyu vessel for allegedly fishing illegally in Natuna Sea. PT Pertamina claimed that non-subsidized diesel fuel of Deslite type has grabbed 20% market share in Surabaya, East Java. The opening of Luli Group marks the United Arab Emirates-based company's first step into East Asia, the new store being part of a $500 million investment commitment to Indonesia. With the launch of a new defense strategy on Tuesday, expectations are high that the defense ministry will build a maritime defense system that supports the government's vision of transforming the country into a global maritime power. A newly launched Ripen Union project is set to explore the creative economy potential of Flores, East Nusa Tenggara, with the venture end up developing tourism on the island. Indonesia will import additional rose sugar for household usage to meet demand and stabilize prices during the celebration for the end of Muslim Ramadan fasting period in July. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Bondowoso in East Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, if you are in a region, it is not complete if you do not taste its typical food yet, such as Bondowoso in East Java has mamong roasted rice. This food has special and unique taste, and this food became the winner in East Java Typical Food Festival in 2014, which made name of Bondowoso be well known. Since becoming the winner of the competition, the roasted rice is decided to be East Java typical food. Listeners, traditional cooking method always makes food be special. Likewise with mamong roasted rice, the method is traditional. This food is actually similar with tabek rice. Tabek rice is rolled rice or tabek. Because of the way of cooking and serving, so tabek rice is not easy to be spoiled rice. Inspiring from tabek rice, mamong roasted rice adapts the cooking way of tabek rice. Not only adaptation, the rice is also recreated and makes a little bit different. The difference is it's from which has formed corn. Listeners, word of mamong is from Madura language, meaning confused. It is given a name like that because if you eat mamong roasted rice, you will feel confused. It's confusing because savory taste is completed with hot condiment. Generally, one portion of the rice consists of
tan red cayenne. But if you do not like being spicy, you can order mamong roasted rice with another spicy flavor. Listeners, the making process of mamong roasted rice takes around 2 hours. To cook the rice is not easy and it needs patience. The first step to make safari rice is mixed with coconut milk. Then it is also mixed with bay leaves, lemongrass, and lime leaves. After finishing, the hot rice is aired. As a result, it is not too hot. Then it's wrapped with a banana leaf and it is tied with bamboo rope and steamed. After the rice is overcooked, the last step is roasted. Because of roasted process, mamong rice is similar with roasted rice. The difference is that the mamong rice is much denser because of steam process. Mamong rice contains of chicken, anchovy, basil and cassava leaves which are pan-fried. In some regions, content of mamong rice is different because it has been adapted to the tastes of the local community. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Menginap di Hotel, which in English means staying at hotel. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Selamat datang. Selamat datang, which means welcome. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu, which means what can I help you? Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. Reservasi. Reservasi, which means reservation. Kamar besar. Kamar besar, which means big room. Mau tinggal berapa hari? Mau tinggal berapa hari, which means how many days to stay. Mau tinggal 3 hari. Mau tinggal 3 hari, which means staying for 3 days. Berapa tarifnya? Berapa tarifnya, which means how much is the tariff. Per hari. Per hari, which means per day. 1 juta rupiah. 1 juta rupiah, which means 1 million rupiah. Sarapan pagi. Sarapan pagi, which means breakfast. Mau masuk hari ini. Mau masuk hari ini, which means to check in today. Besok. Besok, which means tomorrow. Baiklah. Baiklah, which means all right. Menunggu. Menunggu, which means to wait for. Kedatangan Anda. Kedatangan Anda, which means your arrival. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Menginap di Hotel, or in English means staying at hotel. The conversation is between A, receptionist, and B, Mr. Randy. A, receptionist. Selamat datang di Hotel Paramita. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Selamat datang di Hotel Paramita. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Which means, welcome to Paramita Hotel. What can I help you? B, Mr. Randy. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Which means, thank you. Saya Andi. Saya Andi. Saya mau reservasi satu kamar besar. Apakah ada? Saya mau reservasi satu kamar besar. Apakah ada? I'm Andy. I want to reserve a big room. Is it available? A, receptionist. Ada. Mau tinggal berapa hari, Pak? Ada. Mau tinggal berapa hari, Pak? Which means, yes, it is. For how many days, sir? B, Mr. Andy. Saya mau tinggal 3 hari. Berapa tarifnya per hari? Saya mau tinggal 3 hari. Berapa tarifnya per hari? Which means, I want to stay for 3 days. How much is the tarif per day? A, receptionist. Seharinya 1 juta rupiah. Seharinya 1 juta rupiah. Which means 1 million rupiah per day. Disediakan sarapan pagi. Disediakan sarapan pagi. Which means including breakfast. Apakah Anda mau masuk hari ini atau besok? Apakah Anda mau masuk hari ini atau besok? Which means, do you want to check in today or tomorrow? B, Mr. Andy. Besok. Besok, which means tomorrow. A, receptionist. Baiklah, kami akan menunggu kedatangan Anda. Baiklah, kami akan menunggu kedatangan Anda. Which means, alright, we'll wait for you. B, Mr. Randy. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. A, receptionist. Terima kasih kembali. Terima kasih kembali, which means you are welcome. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topics. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Emilia Contessa. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Angin November by Emilia Contessa.
Bawa kita
listener, the Asia Week magazine called Emilia Contessa as the Asian stage lion in 1975 for her enchantment stage act, which thrilling the audience who watching the performance both within and outside the country. Emilia Contessa was born in 1957. She has successfully achieved various prestigious events in the country with a variety of awards. Then she also gained the success of the Indonesian pop music world even since she was a child. With the support of family, especially his mother, Emilia continued to practice and develop skills and take part in various singing competitions. Hence, in adolescence, she won pop singer festivals in East Java, and since then, she began her career in pop music world in the country. The sopran vocal became the main attraction for Emilia Contessa and brought her to the popularity in the 80s era. Listener, not only the Asia Week magazine, the New York Times also named her as a singer in the world most top 5 popular and got the award in the form of customs and scholarship abroad. Having had a successful in Indonesian pop music industry, Emilia Contessa expanded her career into the big screen or film industry. She played with Indonesian famous actors like Sofwan Sofyan and Ratno Timoer. As time goes by, Emilia eventually reduced her activities in singing after she got traveling to various countries except Africa. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Layu Sebelum Berkembang by Emilia Contessa. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.